Hello, everyone watching at home. If you're still watching, I hope you are because I've got a superstar today. I have Jenny Legg, who was most recently in 9 to 5. How'd that come about?
9 to 5. So it was just like anything else, really, that I auditioned when the audition came out, and ended up not only getting the job, but covering three other roles in the show. So it came about that way, really, just normal auditions. And I've been in it for nearly a year and a half altogether. And I've played all the parts too, which is really nice.
Is it hard to have to know all the parts?
It is. I've been lucky. So in my career, I've been a swing quite a bit. So for anyone who doesn't know what that means, it means that you learn parts, and then when people need you to cover them, you're available and you know what you're doing. So I've had experience probably most of my career and most of my performing life, really, of having to learn a few different parts. So it kind of works like anything else. The more practice that you have at it, the better you are. But the great thing with 9 to 5 is all three parts that I covered were completely different to each other and also completely different to my normal track. So I covered the drunk, which is Margaret. I covered Bonnie Langford's part, Roz, the office secretary, and I covered Violet, who is technically is the lead of the show. She leads most of the show, but she's, a mum. She's quite a strong character. And then I also, in my normal track, played Brian Connolly's part, his Hart, Franklin Hart. I played his wife, who was a completely different character again. So yeah, it's hard. But it's really nice to be able to turn your hand to lots of different characters.
So have you ever been on stage and done the wrong line when you're supposed to be doing?
Yeah, we all have. I think people would love to tell you that that doesn't happen, but it does. And actually, the older that you get, the less stressed you get about that. It happens and it's okay. And 9 times out of 10, people don't even notice. So, yeah. It has happened and it will happen again.
I'm sure they'll only notice if they're like diehard fans of the show. That's the only way they'd be like, but most people are just going to have a good time and watch the show.
Yeah, exactly.
So, did you finish 9 to 5 before the lockdown started?
No, so our show was supposed to run until the 23rd of May in London. Now, obviously, due to the lockdown, sadly, we closed on the 16th of March, which was, we didn't actually do a show on that day. We did the two shows on the Saturday, went in on the Monday, the 16th of March, and didn't end up doing a show because lockdown, or at least lockdown of the West End, happened on that day. So we actually didn't finish our run in town, which is a bit of a shame. They're still hoping it'll go on tour around the UK, but we still got what's that? Nearly a year and 3 months altogether in town. So yeah.
So is that hard for you just because you kind of you were expecting it, I think. I think everyone's told me that they were expecting that the West End was going to be shut, but you didn't know when. You were still going into work every day and being like, we're still doing the show tonight. And then how did it feel when they told you, no, we cancelled it?
You're absolutely right. It wasn't a shock that it was going to happen at some point. Broadway had closed their doors on a lockdown the week before. I think it was the week before. So we were kind of hoping that we might be a few weeks ahead, that maybe we'll get 2 more weeks before a lockdown. We weren't sure. So when we turned up and did warm up on the Monday, it was a shock and it was sad because we knew all of us who have any experience in the business and know how it works and know how it needs to work to be successful know that it was highly unlikely that we were going to come back after that point. So, yes, producers and company managers need to say to us, we're hoping that this won't be the case and we're going to come back, but they don't know the answers. You just have to be realistic. So, it was sad. Because that show was full of brilliant people and we had such a great time every night. So, yeah, it was sad.
So, I think now we're going to talk about You told me that one of your great shows that you've been in was Singing in the Rain.
Yes, it was.
How'd that come about? Was it a part that you'd always wanted, or was it a part that you didn't know anything about but went for it and then?
It was a part, it was my dream role that I wanted to play in my career. So I don't know how many people watching this will have seen Singing in the Rain, the original film, or might not know who I'm talking about, but there's a dancer or performer from MGM musicals called Syd Charisse. And she is one of the most beautiful dancers and beautiful performers that I have ever seen, in my opinion. And she's quite sultry in the way that she dances. And I've always loved that. So I was doing a different show at the time, which we might talk about in a minute. And this came about. They couldn't find somebody at that time for the role that I ended up doing. And I went in to audition. Actually, funny story, I was asked to go in an audition, but I wasn't available. And I was gutted that I'd missed the audition, but it just so happened by fate that they didn't find who they needed for the part. So I
Or
went in,
maybe they did.
or maybe they did. Yeah, so the first round of auditions, they didn't seem to have anybody initially. And then, yeah, I went into audition and got the part and did 14 months of the UK tour and then went to Japan with it, playing my dream role in a musical, in a musical that now will hold a really firm place in my heart for the rest of my life, really.
So, how did you find out that you had that you got the part? What were you?
So normally what happens, sorry to butt in there, normally what happens is you'll go to your audition and then there might be a few different rounds, so you might have to go back on a few different days, and then your agent, so if you've got the audition through an agent, which most people would, gets the kind of correspondence between them and the production company. So my agent at the time just called me and said, as soon as I'd left the room, actually, it was really strange. They called up and said, we need to see if we can get you out of your current contract about 5 or 6 weeks early. And I was just very lucky that the producer that I was working for at the time allowed that to happen. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been able to take the job. So yeah.
So, can you remember who was the first sort of person you told when you got that part you really wanted?
Well, when I got the call, I was actually with my boyfriend at the time, because I think he'd come to pick me up we're going for lunch or something from Pineapple Dance Studios. That's where my audition was. So he was the first person to find out. But after that, whenever I get a job, the first person that I call are my parents, just because they're always on tenterhooks waiting to hear if I've got a job or not. So I'd like to put them out of their misery of whether I've got it or not.
And did they know that that was a dream role for you?
Yeah, I think that they did. I didn't, it was one of those roles that I probably didn't talk about wanting to do. I probably didn't talk about it all the time, but I knew that I always wanted to play that part. And then when I went to watch the show in town before the tour that I did, the number in the show is very different to what it is in the film. And I remember watching it thinking, God, I desperately want to do that number. So yeah, I don't know how much they were aware of whether I wanted to do it or not, but they were pleased either way.
So another job that you had before Singing in the Rain was Top Hat.
Yes. Yeah.
That was, yeah, how'd that come about?
Oh, same thing again. So that was the job that I had to leave 6 weeks early to do Singing in the Rain. So again, it was, I have to say, like, I was auditioning quite a lot for lots of different things before Top Hat came about. I was getting to maybe finals of stuff and wasn't quite getting the job. And then went into audition for Top Hat, and I am and always have been a very confident tap dancer. So from 3 years old, you could not keep me still. I love tap dancing. It's what I've just been teaching today, actually. And I went into these auditions and straight away knew that this was completely my style and down my street, really. So we did a few rounds, and then think we probably did about 6 rounds altogether. And then I was offered ensemble and dance captain. So it was the first time that this show had been done anywhere in the world. So it's a film, but the show itself was a world premiere. So to be dance captain and even just to be part of that show was such a massive thing to me. Not to mention that it was a short UK tour with a highly likely possibility of us going into town, going into the West End, which did end up happening. So that was my first West End job. So that one, again, in a similar way to Singing in the Rain, holds a big place in my heart. Because if it wasn't for that job, I don't know whether my career would have gone as well as or down the same avenue that it has. So big job.
So you talk about going on tour. What's been one of the best places that you've toured to?
Japan. Like, completely. I mean, the tours that I've done have been UK tours. So within the UK, I mean, I love Bristol. I love Edinburgh. They're beautiful places to go. Southampton and Manchester, actually. I've been to Manchester a lot. Brilliant, brilliant places. But to have the opportunity to go to Tokyo in Japan was something I'll never forget. It was, I mean, I don't know if you've been or whether anybody watching this has been, but it is bonkers there. And it is like, it's like nowhere else in the world. And I haven't traveled that much, but I would go back there in a heartbeat. Like, the people are great. The theatres are beautiful. And just kind of being in a different, surrounded by a different culture, but doing what you love was really interesting. You're treated like royalty. It's unbelievable. Yeah, it was amazing.
So was Japan something that you knew was a possibility when you started production? What was it that you went to Japan with again?
Singing in the Rain.
Singing in the Rain. Was that something you knew that was going to happen? Or did they one day just start going to Japan and they spoke to you about it?
If I remember rightly, I'm pretty sure that it was a UK tour and that was it. And then we were told halfway through the tour that we were going to Japan. I'm pretty sure that's what happened. So no, when I signed up for the job, it wasn't UK tour and Japan. It was just UK tour, which was obviously amazing. So yeah, it was... If I remember rightly, like I say, I'm pretty sure it was a surprise, like an added extra, which was...
Was it a hard choice? As soon as you said you're going to Japan, were you like, oh no, I'm going to Japan? Was it just like, sweet, I'm going to Japan?
Oh, it was the easiest decision ever. We were only there for 4 weeks. So it was a month of my life where I would be paid to travel to a different country across the world and learn about their culture. It was... unbelievable. Honestly, I would recommend it to anyone.
So starting off, we'll go back to your first job that you had, which was it Crazy for You?
Yes.
And so when was that? Did you do that?
2009.
And how did it feel knowing that was your first professional job when you got the part?
It was... it was, for want of a better word, it was an amazing feeling. I had auditioned for musicals out of college for 2 years. And again, I'd gotten to finals. I'd gotten quite far in auditions, but I hadn't landed the job. I was still waiting. I was doing a lot of hair shows and commercial work, as in commercial dance work, to fill the gaps and to make some money. But I wasn't achieving in musicals. So when I got the call to say that I'd got Crazy for You, that was such a massive deal to me. And it was at Kilworth House Theatre, which is in Leicestershire. And again, for anyone who doesn't know, it's an outdoor theatre. So anyone who knows me knows that I am an adventurer at heart. So I love not having the luxuries that you sometimes get. So in a West End show, you get, you know, your makeup, or you'll have your shoes fixed all the time, or your costumes fixed all the time. With Kilworth House in 2009, there were none of those luxuries. They didn't exist. We were getting changed in a portable cabin. There was a little kitchen with a couple of chairs and a microwave and a fridge. We had to run from our changing room cabin to the stage in wellies so that we didn't get our shoes muddy. And I love that. So if it wasn't exciting enough as it was that I'd landed this job, I also got to do something that was a bit rustic. So yeah, it was an amazing feeling. Yeah.
That's amazing. So we're coming to the end of the interview, which is really sad because it's been amazing to talk to you. It's been really fun.
Thank you.
But anyone that's been watching these interviews will know that we can't let you go without answering my quick fire questions, which are quite random.
Okay.
So good luck. Okay. Your first question is, I've prepared you for this one, so the first one you get free. And it is, if you could be in any show, like no gender stereotypes, no age, you could be Matilda, you could be Evan Hansen, you could be old Joe from Waitress, for one night only with full costume and sound, who would you be, which musical and why?
I'm going to be a little bit boring and I'm going to tell you who I really want to be. And I would love to be Velma Kelly in Chicago. I know that it would be more exciting to give you like a boy character that I would like to be. But if I'm honest, everyone who asks me that question, that's the answer that they will get. So yeah, Velma Kelly in Chicago, or if I get an or, Sally Bowles in Cabaret.
So if any producers are watching, you know who to call.
Yeah.
Your second question is, if you had to choose between only listening to one original cast recording for a musical for the rest of your life, or listening to any cast recording but only one time in your whole lifetime, what would you pick?
Come From Away.
I mean, if you could pick between only listening to that one or listening to any cast recording ever, but only once?
Oh, I see. No, still probably Come From Away for both.
So just that one soundtrack and just like over and over again.
It's sensational. I think it's sensational. I think it's got heart and it's folky and it makes me cry every time I listen to it. So, which obviously isn't a great thing. You don't want to cry all the time, but I just think it's sensational. So, yeah.
And you don't think you can live with never listening to it again?
No, I would have to just deal with it.
All right. The third question, I've told everyone this, it's become a game with my girlfriend. I ask you this question and then we pause it and she has to guess what your answer is. And the question is, if you could be any Disney princess, which one would you be and why?
Right. And you want me to answer now?
Yeah.
I would be the one from Brave.
Merida. Good choice. I think she'll guess that one because she guesses that one every time.
Really?
I think she makes the guess every time.
Maybe it's because we're tough as performers. Maybe that's what it is. Yeah, I'd be her.
Good choice. And the final question is my favourite because it's just so bonkers.
All right.
The question is, if you had to choose between never singing again or being a badly singing sheep, what would you pick? You have to eat grass and everything. Like, you have to eat grass, live in a field, not going to be any food you like.
I'd be a badly singing sheep. I can't not sing.
Good choice. I think it's hilarious how many people have just been like, yeah, sheep, easily.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could. I love singing, but I don't know if I could do that. Like, being a sheep, living in a field, just eating grass all day.
Really?
But you'd consciously know that you couldn't eat the food. You'd turn into the sheep, so you'd know what it's like to eat all that other food, and you have to eat grass.
Well, it's
still a simple decision.
You'd still remember being a human.
Mm. Yeah.
I still think I'd be the sheep.
Good choice. Thank you so much for letting me interview you. There's only sort of two more very important things to say. The first one is, how do people follow you on social media?
So I'm on Instagram, which is jenny.leg, leg with two G's. And the same on Facebook, really. You'd be able to find me. And I think my Twitter might be the same, jenny.leg. I'm pretty sure. Or underscore jenny.leg. You'll be able to find me.
Okay. And you are doing tap classes at the moment, aren't you?
Yes.
So do you want to really quickly say anything about that?
Yeah, good. I'd love to. Thanks. that every Thursday over Zoom, the way to get the Zoom codes, the best way is to add me on Instagram, because I post them every week. And then if you decided you wanted to come and do them regularly, then the Zoom codes should stay the same. So yeah, if you, jenny.leg on Instagram is probably your best place to find them. And we're just having a lovely time, no pressure, just a really nice time and learning a new skill. Yeah.
Amazing. So there's only one thing left to say, and it's very important, and that is this video is to try and make money for Acting for Others, which is a very important cause right now. I think that I know that everyone doesn't have a lot of money right now, so I've made these videos free for everyone, because even if you can't pay to donate, there are lots of donations going around at the moment for Acting for Others, but and everything, every little helps. I'm just going to steal that slogan. What shop is every little help? Tesco. Yeah, Tesco slogan. Don't sue me, Tesco, by the way, if you're watching this. But yeah, anything that you can pay would help immensely. I don't know, do you know much about Acting for Others?
So we have done, in lots of different shows that I've been involved with over the years, have done bucket collections and different things all over the place, bake sales. But the basic gist is that when we are out of work, we don't get paid. And I know that to everybody it might seem like we're always having a marvelous time, having a jolly at work. We do enjoy our work, but it is very hard work, and to lose our income is not easy, because not everybody is able to turn their hand to something else. So it's a really important charity that is available for those of us that need them at this time.
Amazing. So yeah, please, please donate. And the final, very last question is, what's your advice for everyone out there stuck in lockdown right now?
My advice is keep your chin up. It isn't going to last forever. I know it feels like it is going to last forever. It's not. But keep your chin up, keep active. I know that it's not everybody's first port of call, but try and stay active. Try and keep your mind going with something, even if it's playing a game or talking to somebody or learning something new or baking. Just keep going and yeah, keep your chin up, stay positive. And, you know, you can always look at our silly social medias where we're always making a fool of ourselves.
Come watch these videos. There's about 10 more so far, and there's going to be so much more coming. And hopefully, yeah. Thank you so much again for being part of this. It's been fantastic. And I guess just one last thing to say to everyone else before we finish is just make sure you stay safe. And thank you for watching.
Yes.